It sounds like through Mind Over Money, there's quite a varied stakeholder base as well. When you are working with, let's say, corporate employees, let's assume, let's make this assumption. Generally, some corporate employees will be earning a decent, well above the average salary and things like that. And it's quite easy to make the assumption, okay, they are making a decent salary and stuff. Why on earth would they need someone to help them with their personal finances? So, from my question is around that. What is like your biggest learning from working with groups like that, for example?
I mean, I see your question, but actually, kind of to answer that, my first response would be salary wise has nothing to do with it.
Love
Some
it,
of
yeah.
my private clients that I do one-on-one coaching with, most recently they were taking home 250K per year. They had a trust fund, they were a director of a company, great salary, but every single month they were in the negative. And didn't know where their money went and just were really like, panic, I've got to borrow. I give that example to share that it's about your habits, your behaviors, your feelings, your thoughts. Are you hiding from your finances? And that shows up with my one-on-one clients and the corporate employees. There's no difference at all. The only difference is who's paying for the service, right? On the corporate side, obviously I don't get to go as deep with them because it's a group setting. But you get the same questions, you get the same kind of lack of knowledge in certain financial areas. So there's no difference there. It's just that, of course, on the one-on-one side, you can go deeper. And because I'm able to spend more time to build that trust, if we talk about psychological safety, then they can go deeper to address real rooted, okay, this is what I really think, or this is my fear. And then we spend time on that. And start to gently go through that process in a group setting. You're not really going to do that.
Jax, we talk about this quite a lot on the episode. I think we've done an episode with when ex-football players and sports people have to declare bankruptcy and all of that. So you can earn £100,000, but if you're spending £100,000, there's not really much you can do with that, right, Jax?
Well, absolutely. Yeah, like Chris was saying, from my own experience as well, I've had a whole wide range of different clients, and you find some of them have different problems, some of them have the same problems. It really comes down to the individual and what they are struggling with, whether it is money management, whether it is something more psychological, or whether it's a lack of knowledge.
Yeah, go on, Crystal.
No, I was going to say, yeah, I can't remember who, I'm not good with names, but I know that there was like an actor, a UK actor or director or something, who again spoke about something similar, that he had no idea what was going on with his money. I don't think he went bankrupt, but just talking about there was a time where he had no money and he
Oh,
was.
it's oh, what's his name? Pierre, you might remember. Is it
What's he
Noel
been in?
Clark? He's in Adulthood.
I can see his face.
Oh,
He's in
Noel Clark, the main guy.
Oh, I think it's Noel Clark. I think it is.
Yes,
Yeah,
it is.
I think it was him. And like you said, footballers have also gone bankrupt, but you see them all over the TV looking great, and people are assuming they're living the high life on Instagram and all that. But behind closed doors, if they haven't got this sorted, because it's got nothing to do with how much you're paid, it's really nothing to do with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, I think that's very important for our listeners, man. Yes, obviously you want to earn more if it makes sense in line with whatever objectives you have in life, but there's so much more to that. And Chris, you mentioned, when you are with your clients, it's about creating psychological safety. Without going into too much detail, because for our listeners, if you want to access Crystal's service, we'll put the details and stuff in the link. But what are some of the things that, and it could be even one thing, what does actually mean or look like? And what, if you do create psychological safety, what does actually allow the individual to be able to do better?
Good question. Okay. So, psychological safety, we're talking about you as a person feeling safe in your environment to not hide, to not, not disclose certain things about what you think, what you feel, some of the mistakes you've made. In lots of environments, we want to show ourselves to be a certain way. So we present, I call it our agent, right? We present our best version of ourselves. But ideally, for you to make any kind of change, you have to be honest. And that's where it requires a psychological safety. So one thing that actually I think makes a big change, really has a big impact on people feeling comfortable is when I teach them about the things that are involved in their financial decisions they're making today. So what's got them there? So I basically give a bit of a spiel around whether it's neurodivergence, the fact that maybe, if you've got dyslexia or whatever it is, and how that interacts with your money, or like we just spoke about, your upbringing, and if your parents treated money a certain way, how that might have influenced you, or even the state of the economy at the time that you were making serious decisions, right? Or your gender, or all these different things. When I start teaching or explaining about that, you can see instantly the relaxedness that appears, because it's like, oh, and I don't even like saying this because it really pains me that people think this about themselves, but they literally say things like, oh, I'm not just stupid then, or I'm not just bad at money. No, you're not at all. Actually, these things are happening which form your beliefs, your money story, and the foundations that become the springboard for the decisions that you make. And once you become aware of them, you can then start to work on changing them. So the psychological safety part is basically giving them the space to feel like they are good enough. And no matter what you say, you're still a superhero and amazing. All right, let's just identify where actually it hasn't gone so well in the past. Let's put on, our gloves, and let's get down to it and fix it. But yeah, that safety is required. Otherwise, there's no point, and it's going to kind of land and just bounce back off again.
Yeah, I love this. I love this, and I love this because obviously I share with some of the same experiences. And two things, I think. One, sometimes you can find that even your sessions are almost becoming therapeutic sessions, and you're not a therapist. I'm like, yeah, I'm not a qualified therapist. I encourage you to maybe get counseling or therapy. And sometimes you do have to
You
create some
do.
sort of boundaries and allow people to share their stories to help you understand them better as well. But have you ever had any of those experiences where someone might be oversharing and that kind of stuff? How do you and how do you kind of create the right boundaries in that situation?
Yeah, good question. Oversharing, I don't know if I'm with that. I think the what that doesn't resonate with me, that word. I think what does is, like you said first, if I feel from what they're saying that actually it's deeper than I can do or deal with, then I would encourage them gently, respectfully, all the good things, that maybe they need to go and see a therapist. I've seen a therapist, and I will for the rest of my life, because I think it's amazing and everybody should. But yeah, for sure, if the struggles they're having are going deeper than I can support them with, 100%. I'd be like, some people I give a discovery, a consultant to, a consultation to, and from the things they're saying on that first call, there's many people that have said, actually, I think you need to do something here first. I don't think, with what I do with people, I can't address that. And that's the responsibility that I have, right? Otherwise, like, I'm not here just to take people's money for the sake of it. Like, if I was, like, there's lots of jobs I could do, right? So yeah, for sure, that does happen. But in terms of oversharing, I mean, I'm an ADHD. I don't know if you guys know much about ADHD, but we overshare. We just we just say everything and don't stop talking. So I'm comfortable with that. Like, I can hold people's truths, and I have that respect, so that's okay.
Love that, love that. And I love how you see even just that word oversharing as well, and the positive area of that, because it's when you say the word overshare, it can sound like it's a negative thing, but it's about what you're doing with that. So I really do like that. And we've touched on and you've obviously just you've shared a couple of times that you have ADHD as well. And the work that I've seen you do with Mind Over Money, there's a lot around neurodiversity and the neurocognitive variability that exists in this planet that we live on. Do you want to just share a bit more on that? And you also mentioned the young chap that you was mentoring as well. Do you want to talk a bit more about this? And when it comes to neurodiversity and recognizing one's abilities or even needs as well, how one that could present a challenge when it comes to taking a grasp on their personal finance, and then we can walk about how you actually work with someone to help them, if that makes sense.
Yes, I feel like I just had five questions. So I'm gonna
The first
try.
one is, I even heard the questions and said it, but the first one is when we're recognizing someone that might have
A neurodivergent.
included in these newer minorities as well. What are some of the challenges that can present someone in taking a grasp of their personal finances?
Okay, cool. Yes. All right. So, and just kind of, I think you said something earlier just now, and so for some people, they have been diagnosed with something, right? They've been diagnosed with ADHD, dyslexia. I'm almost 40, and I was only diagnosed with dyslexia, whatever, the other day. I've gone my whole career, studies, master's degree, like, and no one said anything. I didn't have any diagnosis. I just had to get through life.
That's
And
so fascinating.
I say that because with the question around recognizing that somebody is or may have some kind of neurodivergence, it's so difficult because I'm not here to diagnose anybody at all, right? But then you have people, and I think I've spoken on this topic specifically, but you have people who are struggling in some kind of way. Maybe they're forgetful, maybe they're impulsive, maybe they have ADHD, maybe they don't. And my focus is more, what are you doing that is hindering you building financial wealth or whatever it is you're trying to achieve? What are those behaviors? And I focus on that. So my focus isn't about, okay, what is your diagnosis? Because that doesn't really help, especially when we talk about autism, ADHD, etc. Just because you have ADHD doesn't mean you look exactly the same as the other person who has ADHD, right? You may display completely different. Common things, and if we go back and link it to the second question that you asked, Peter, around how does it maybe impact your finances, right? So many ways. Being forgetful, for example, of course, if you've got bills to pay and you haven't set up an automated payment, all of a sudden your credit is now affected, which then can affect your, future job prospects or you buying a property, and it starts to spiral. Or if you've got dyslexia, maybe there's an issue with numbers themselves, which, I mean, that's just massive, right? When it comes to your money. And there's other things that I think in this space, not many people are even connecting, but something like rejection sensitivity disorder. So that's where you're basically hypersensitive to rejection. So I talk about this when I am delivering training or supporting a founder. And, for example, trying to get a new business, trying to get a sale, if you're afraid about being told no, surely that's going to directly impact your ability to generate sales.
Course, yeah.
Absolutely.
Crazy, right? But I haven't had anyone kind of make that connection. And then there's other things which are much bigger, like shutdowns and meltdowns, which is more on the autism side. So where you zone out and you just shut down, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that, of course, will impact what you're supposed to do when it comes to your money. Or another area which I know, Jax, you obviously be like, oh yeah, financial planning and thinking forward is obviously very important for, money management, investing, and for example, specifically ADHD, struggle with the concept of thinking in the future and planning ahead. That is just a real mind-boggling aspect to those who struggle with that area. And then that can impact your fund. So there's so many areas that it really does start to pay up. And there are so many stats around it. I don't know if you saw the study by Monzo, but the stats are crazy in terms of how much more, I think it was ADHD, yeah. An ADHD struggles with budgeting, impulse spending, anxiety, and it's like it makes sense,
It makes a lot of sense, yeah. It really
right?
does, yeah.
But yeah, in the terms of the first question, yeah, that I don't focus on the diagnosis. I don't focus on that. It's more, what are you doing? Are you what? Why are you here? What's your struggle? I keep spending. Again, going back to a client, for example. Every Friday, he'd go out with his friends and spend loads of money on drinks, which is a common story for lots of people, right? But in the same breath, he really wanted to save. And this is back to you, Jax, when you talk about it turns into a bit of a therapy session where we got to the crux of it, and he was buying drinks for his friends because he thought that that would make him look like he cared about his friends. And when he got to that and realized that that's what he thought, it was like, hold on, he knew logically, no, that's not gonna, that doesn't tell my friends that I care about them. They know I care about them. I care about them because I listen to their problems, or I, you know, whatever. And that really helped him stop doing that on a Friday evening. Which, you know, then straight away he's saving like 150, £200 a week. That's massive.
Yeah, well, firstly, buying drinks is really expensive. especially if you're trying to, communicate something to your friends, it becomes even more expensive, right? Because the more drinks that you buy, the more they know that you care about them. So,
No, absolutely. And I love what you're saying there, because about focusing on the behaviors, right? And really linking between that in terms of when it comes to personal finance and money management. And it's, yeah, I mean, even with my, in terms of in my circle, I know probably about four people in the last 12 months or so that have been diagnosed with either dyslexia or ADHD as well. And these are adults that never knew that, that was the case as well. And, this is obviously, again, it's really just recognizing the difference between every single individual on this planet as well. Now, for those people that are listening, and not any group of people, right, and that I've realized, even just from listening, or that are very much aware that, yeah, they do make decisions like trying to impress people on a Friday night, buying drinks and all of that stuff. What would you say to that in terms of how can you actually start to regain financial control? How can you get back, think back to where it should really be?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. And I think if you are thinking about this stuff, then that tells me that your financial situation is not where you want it to be, or you don't, yeah, you don't have the financial life set up, whatever it is that you want to have. So then the second part is, what do you need to do to have that life? And what are you doing that is stopping you from having that life? Because that will bring to the forefront those behaviors. So you're getting clear about what it is you want, where you are right now, and the gap between. And for example, if you, I don't know, want to buy a house, for example, and you don't have any savings whatsoever, and you think it's never going to happen, and you're frustrated because you're like, I don't know how to do it. How do I get there? You know, simply, for example, you need to save money every month. And if every month you are saving, but you're dipping back into your savings, that is going to bring to the light one behavior that you're doing that is not helpful. And as you sit back and look through all of that, yes, you may then connect it to some of these neurodivergence that we've just discussed, or maybe not, or, you know, that's not really important. It's focusing, okay, what are those behaviors that I am exhibiting, that I'm doing, that are hindering me getting to where I want to get to? And once you address those, then you can start get, you know, walking the path to get to where you want to get to. And that's when you start looking at, okay, I want to save every month, but I'm dipping into it. If we get really granular, why do I have such easy access to that savings? Is there a way that I can, whether it's incorporate somebody else, or I'd literally did with a client yesterday. She kept dipping back into her savings pot and just taking more money into her day-to-day spending because she's got the apps on her phone. So when she's out and about, it's so easy to just move money across, right? But still, simple things like that, we call them in behavioral science or behavioral psychology, we call them frictions. So you want to create friction so it's harder for you to do the thing. And that's a really, like, it makes so much difference because all of a sudden you can't transfer an extra £100 every week. That's huge. So yeah,
I
go ahead.
was gonna say, this digital age, it's so easy to dip back in, and you don't have to go to the bank, and everything's just so much easier. I did have a
Love that.
question, if you don't mind, Peter. I'm just
Yeah,
gonna ask
go
it.
for it.
So, like, I think, would you say for the average adult now, because I guess what I'm trying to say is there are some people that might just say to themselves, you know what, I'm just a bit different from everyone else. Or I've got this personality that's a bit different from most of my friends. But I don't actually know what it is. Maybe I'm just unique, or maybe I'm just, this is just me. Would you say that most people should just get tested for something anyway? If they just feel as if they struggle with certain things. Do you understand my question, guys?
I think I do. I mean, I'm going to give you a half answer and tell me this is, I don't think this is the answer, but the first response that came up is, It's so expensive.
Mm.
Or the waiting list is years. So as much as yes, of course, go and get tested. And if you can, if you've got the finances to do so, like I paid for it myself. I didn't go in NHS. Then of course, go and get it done.
Okay.
Sure. But on the other side of that, then what? Just because you've got a diagnosis, does that mean all of a sudden your behavior is going to change? No, it doesn't.
True, true,
But, and
yes.
actually, for a lot of people, once they've been diagnosed, you kind of got, you have a period of being a bit wobbly. It kind of, you look back at your life and you're like, how comes no, you know, you're a bit mad.
Yes.
And so that's not necessarily the answer for you to definitely go and have great finances. I think the crux of it is you have to be honest with yourself and be committed to becoming self-aware and being honest with, okay, this is why I don't have XYZ. You know, maybe it's partly because I'm copying my friends. Maybe it's because I keep impulse spending or maybe whatever it may be. It's, I think the starting point is you being honest with yourself. And sometimes it's really hard to do that on your own. So, like I think we touched on it before, find people who are also excited about building their finances or fostering and creating the life that they really want. And that might give you the motivation to start doing the things that you actually like. I know I need to address this area.
Okay. Yeah, you've definitely answered my question.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. No, it's really, really been a really eye-opening conversation. As I said, it was really good to just touching on the psychology side of things when it comes to money. Because yeah, on this podcast, me and Jax, yeah, we talk on the other side, probably more so as well. So that's been really good. And I didn't want to get any sort of final thoughts from you, Christopher. Before I do that, just gonna take a very quick break and. In that break, just going to give a shout out to where we are getting new listeners from or an area that we've not given a shout out to from before. And Jax, I'm going to butcher this place, but it is pronounced as, gosh, Etobicoke, and this is in Canada.
Goodness me, man. Do you know when you was about to announce Crystal, I was so scared that I was gonna absolutely butcher her surname. Because in case you don't know about Crystal, Peter butchers everything. He's a butcher.
I'm definitely. I was so happy when Crystal did say her surname. I was like, yes, I pronounced it correctly.
So, guys, over in Canada, welcome to the Work Finance Podcast. You're here with myself, Jax, and the co-host Peter. On this podcast, we talk about all things finance and all things finance related. If you want to know more about what we do, because Work Finance is more than just a podcast, we serve in the community. Head over to www.workfinance.co.uk. That's www.workfinance.co.uk. And if you want to engage with us on our socials, we are predominantly on LinkedIn and Instagram. So on LinkedIn, if you search for Work Finance, you will find us. And on Instagram, if you search for at Work Finance Team, you're sure to find us as well. But I hope you are enjoying the episodes and I hope you are gaining tons of value.
Come on, come on, come on. A massive shout out to our listeners over there and all over the world. Crystal, before we let you go, we definitely want to I guess we asked that question in terms of how to regain financial control. Is there anything else that comes to mind when it when you think of, you know, some of the clients that you work with, some of the common things that come out of those sessions in terms of supporting them to really regain financial control?
I think just linking back to what we said and kind of following on into more practical, once you are clear about, okay, this is where I trip up, this is where I make decisions that cause my bank balance to be a bit lower or whatever it is, filling that gap with what's going to help you. So, you know, obviously being aware there's nothing wrong with you. What you're trying to do here is basically figure out what works best with how you work. You know, back to your comment, Jax, about we're all so different. You know,
Yes, yeah.
so for example, what a few of my clients really like the Snoop app, they quite like that, or if this then that app, IFTTT, which basically, for example, it's really quite cool. You know, if you go to the gym and you set it up to put money into your savings account, it can do that automatically. You know, things like that make it easy for you to build your wealth, right? And also, we're talking about money. And traditionally, money is a serious topic and it's a bit dry, but you can make it fun. There's no reasons why your monthly finance thing can't be you and your friend doing it together, I'm not promoting alcohol, but whatever, like
Glass of wine,
a glass of wine, make it a fun thing. There's no reason why it has to be a serious, oh gosh, I'm doing this thing. Make it a good thing. Reward yourself, build habits into it. Rewards, are going to motivate you to want to try it again. And then, and just the last point, and I think I was going to mention this, but those who are really nervous about financial management or whatever it is, just if you are talking to somebody, whether it's a professional or a peer, and they're making you feel silly, I mean, just get rid. And I say that also about professionals. I've had so many people, whether it's a business client who's crying to me because of how their accountant talked to them, or people, go to the bank and the bank teller is looking at you a certain way because of whatever mistake or whatever. That's not okay. And
Very judgmental.
yeah, no matter what's happened with your finances, whether you've made the biggest mistake ever, who cares? Nobody should be talking to you in any kind of way to make you feel silly. They should be supporting you. So I just want to add that because I know a lot of people are afraid of financial institutions or just institutions in general, because they may not be perfect at finance. And I think that's a real big problem.
Yeah,
Love
I mean,
that.
yeah, Pia, we done an episode, well, just a few episodes ago on financial shame, didn't we? You know, financial shame being something that a lot of people struggle with. And you know,
Big deal.
yeah, I mean, we were at an event and there was a lady who, the question is, why don't people talk about money? And she said, well, I don't want to talk about money because, I feel shame. I feel as if people shame me for being in my mid-30s and not having any savings or et cetera. And yeah, so many people struggle with this. And it's really important to understand that not everybody's there to shame you. And if someone is shaming you, you need to get rid. Like you said, you need to move from that person, whether it is a professional.
I'll get rid. There's not many things that make me angry, but of all the, I think there's two. Anyone does anything to my family, sure. Like you'll see a different side of me. But when I see someone talk to or about someone and their financial decisions in a negative way or whatever, oh, I get so mad. I listen, you're going to see me because I know what it can do to somebody and make them go more within, and that just negatively impacts their finances even more so. So yeah, don't have it, guys.
No, it's true. And sometimes, there is a case, as you said, sometimes we're being, a bit strict or demonstrating a bit of tough love, even as a financial coach, but it has to come from a place of love.
Of course.
It has to. And if it doesn't, then, you have to be careful about who you're actually dealing with.
Yeah.
No, I absolutely love that. I really do. Okay, brilliant. Pistol, how does, I guess, in terms of all the work that you do, for our listeners, it'll be good to hear a bit more about how people can find out a bit more about what you do, how they can get in touch with you. I also understand you also have a podcast. I know you've not done an episode in a little while, but I'm sure if it's anything to go by what me and Jets have heard today, definitely worth a listen, for our listeners as well. So yeah, let's hear a bit more about where we can find you.
Thanks, Peter. All the letters, crystalmcgilvery.com or weareMindOverMoney.com are the two main websites. I am all over Instagram by the same names, Crystal McGilvery, Mind Over Money. On LinkedIn, you'll see me there every single day. I post something. And yeah, like you said, Peter, I've got my podcast. I've neglected it. I'm bringing it back. It's coming back.
Come on.
And I do, yeah, I do hosting here and there. And
And
yeah,
you have an amazing newsletter as well,
I
which
do. I do have an amazing newsletter. Yes. Thank you. Yes, that I release every 2 weeks, which has a combination of partly finance and partly behavior habits and tips and tricks, really. Yeah, to help you be better.
Love
Thank
it.
you for mentioning. Thank
Love it, love it. For our listeners, we strongly encourage you to check that all out. We'll put all of the links and stuff in the description when this is released. Jax, it's been a pleasure having Crystal on. What's one of the takeaways for you?
Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. It's really taken me back to when I first met Crystal, and it's been well, probably about 5, 6 years now since we first met.
Wow.
I think the first thing I want to say is I'm proud of Crystal, even though I've not known her personally for too long. Just seeing her journey and how she's navigated the space has been very inspiring for me as well.
Amazing.
But yeah, also just understanding that people are different. And I think one of the things that really spoke out to me is I've been learning a lot about people's mental health and how people, relate to individuals, relate to themselves, and of course now how that relates to money. And I think whilst my question before was, should people get tested and that kind of stuff, or diagnosed and stuff? I think what you said was so important for me to hear, which is, whether you're diagnosed or not, you can actually still move forward, right? And actually look at some of the things that, the decisions we're making, et cetera, and we can still, move towards a healthy state, without an official diagnosis. And I think that's really important for people to hear, because I do feel as if a lot of people are becoming more educated on the area, and probably will get themselves a diagnosis if that's the case. But before then, you can actually start making the right moves towards becoming healthier with your money and with your life generally as well.
I love that reflection. I love that reflection. Now, Chris, before we let you go, you spoke about being, I think even on your course when you said it was predominantly Chinese people and there wasn't no other black people there. You've obviously been in rooms where you might be the only black person as well. For the young, and it could be black woman or black person, for that young person listening, trying to navigate themselves through the world as well, what's your one piece of advice for them?
Oh, what a nice question. I'd say what I wish I heard, which is you're good enough as you are with your differences. I think we spoke about differences, like the way you do things, the things you like, the thing, I'd never watch TV and everyone does, right? You and your difference, how you are is absolutely perfect and you can shine in it. And you don't be afraid to stand on your own two feet.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. Don't be afraid to stand on your own two feet. But now I've been, yeah, just great having you here on the podcast. And I know we've spoken about the psychology side of things, but I did catch at some point you mentioned you've got, a couple of properties and stuff. It'll be good. It'll be good to hear, very briefly in terms of like your interests, as well when it comes to whether it's investing and all of that stuff. How's that journey been for you?
Good. Just starting in property, very new to it. One of my podcast episodes, I don't know if you listened to it, Jax, actually, where I spoke about the mistake I made by getting a criminal to redo my bathroom, not my kitchen.
I need like some sort of a few
We need
sentence on that. I need more
context.
context.
Basically,
That is hilarious.
do you know what? It's my most listened to podcast. It's an episode. I think I've actually taken it offline. I should put it back. Basically, I bought a flat in Manchester, and I'm from London. I don't know anyone in Manchester, so I had to try
Yeah.
whatever was online, whatever app I use. I don't know. It's funny. I'm reading a book about trusting strangers, but anyway, I trusted the wrong person. He was just telling me lots of. He was just dragging the whole process out. It got to the point where I somehow found his address for his home, and I went to his home and got my keys back for my flat. He told me lies about his car got broken into and he didn't have it, and all kind. And when I googled his name, I saw that he'd been in prison for doing exactly the same thing to other people.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. So the journey of property is hard, navigating it on your own. Just being open to trying new things. I'm looking at buying business as my next thing to get into instead of starting from scratch for with everything, right? So that's another area that I'm learning about now. And also buying art. I'm a painter, so I love art, and I just thought, hold on a second, invest in art, Crystal. What? Yeah, so looking at that.
Interesting,
Wow.
interesting. Art
Jax,
as an
yeah.
alternative asset class. Interesting.
Yes. Oh, I should talk to you about it, Jax, actually. What am
I'll be honest, I don't know much about art. I just know it exists.
I feel another episode some point down the future, Jax. Definitely could be good to hear more about some of the things you've just mentioned there, Crystal, as well. But yeah, but for just for now, again, just a massive thank you. Yeah, really appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you very much. Yes, please don't be a stranger. We hopefully can invite you on an episode at some point in the future as well. Jax, any final words before I let the both of you go?
No, I mean, I've learned a lot from this episode. And again, I'm very much looking forward to inviting Crystal on another episode.
Come on, come on, come on. Massive shout out to our listeners as well, all over the world. Hopefully you found this really useful, and I can imagine it's resonated with a lot of you. If you feel that is the case, share with someone that you think this episode might be beneficial to. You just never know how you might be of value towards someone. So share it on your social medias directly, all of that good stuff. And most importantly, if you feel you can benefit from Crystal's services, do go into the links in the description, man. We definitely recommend you to do that. So Crystal, massive thank you again, and remember, all stay woke.